Our first writer tonight is Jane Nofke.
I've been in the group for about 9 years, and you know, every now and then I think, that's it. That's the last memory I've got. There's nothing else to write about. And then I go to the group on Monday morning and I read the prompts and there's something else to write about. For instance, this story was written after reading the prompt, Ringer washing machines. There were probably a few questions about Ringer washing machines in there, but this is, I was reminded of this by just the words Ringer washing machines. I call the story Just Another Laundry Day. The Ringer washing machine in our basement was mostly my mother's domain. It sat in the southeast corner of the basement from the time we moved into the house when I was in third grade until my sister sold the house more than 30 years later. It is probably still there today, covered in dust and cobwebs in that old empty house. It served us faithfully. My mother never used an automatic washer until she moved into a retirement apartment. I didn't use one until I went away to college and started frequenting dorm laundry rooms and laundromats. This is how the Ringer washer worked. The clothes were washed in the agitator tub, put through the Ringer into a tub of rinse water, then again through the Ringer for a final rinse in another tub of water. They went through the Ringer a third time before falling into a big wicker basket. From there, we carried them up the basement steps to the clothesline strung between tall North Carolina poplar trees, where the sun and the wind did the rest of the job. My sister and I had an adventure with that old Ringer washer. After years of use, the metal stand that supported the two galvanized steel rinse tubs had become very rusty. We didn't realize just how severely weakened the support had become until one day when we were filling both rinse tubs in preparation for doing some laundry. Suddenly, the legs gave out and both tubs collapsed to the concrete floor. Crash, whoosh, water rushed across the floor in all directions. We were horrified. Why? It was only water. What could be easier to clean up, especially with the handy drain in the basement floor? But we knew our mother would blame us for the broken rinse tub stand. We had been on the receiving end of too many of her diatribes about our incompetence to doubt this. After all, she had filled those tubs 1,000 times without breaking them. Oh yes, it would definitely be our fault. What to do? What to do? We were teenagers doing just a little of our own laundry. It could wait for another day. Now it was just necessary to hide the disaster. The stand for the wash tubs was not so far gone that it could not be propped up, and the rinse tubs placed ever so carefully in their usual position atop it. So we did that. It wouldn't survive another wash day, but we would not be the incompetents running water into tubs on a rusty stand. This was pretty dumb, I know. After all, full wash tubs crashing to the floor could fall on someone's foot. Bones might be broken. But we agreed this was self-preservation. On the next Monday, wash day, we waited fearfully for the unavoidable collapse. We sat in the living room, listening to Mother's heavy tread on the basement steps. We sat on the edge of our chairs, bodies taut as the wires our father stretched between posts when he fixed fences. We listened to the water fill the wash machine. This was not a problem. Christy looked at me. I looked at her as we heard the hollow sound of water hitting the first empty rinse tub. Now it was just a matter of minutes, maybe seconds, before the inevitable collapse. But the torture went on. We must have done a good job propping up those tubs. She finished filling the first one. Nothing happened. Christy and I stared at each other, fists clenched, barely breathing. Again, we heard the hollow sound of water hitting the empty tub. How much longer would this go on? The suspense was unbearable. I looked at Christy. Eyes wild, she looked at me. We did not move. We did not speak. We did not breathe. Crash, whoosh, our mother's scream. Mother was not hurt. But even more important to us, she was not angry. After all, there was no one to blame. I'm going to also read you a very short poem about my father. I grew up in Brule, Wisconsin, which is very close to the ports of Duluth and Superior. And where I come from, all those big freighters that ply the waters of Lake Superior, including the thousand-footers today, are called boats. And men who worked on them were said to be on the boats. And my dad spent a couple of seasons on the boats. The title of the poem is On the Boats. You will say that I, who have no children, cannot know the depths of a parent's love. But I knew my mother's desperation and my father's quiet resolve. I know the simple courage it required to hold my shaking body close to his, to remove my arms from his neck, to hear me cry, "Don't go, Daddy, please don't go," to wipe the tears from my cheeks, to tuck me back in bed, and then to go. To go alone in the still black morning, to leave for a season on the boats, to shovel coal in the belly of a Great Lakes freighter, to take what work he could when there was no choice. He went because he loved us, and because love is not easy. He went because he was our father, and because he knew what that meant. Thank you.